Excited that we could still come and be a part of your church. And we are anticipating a great time, all the young people that will be with us in June, and just looking forward to what God's going to do there in Cranberry. Now, we've prepared an 8-minute DVD that will help you understand some of God's calling on our lives as well as our plans. We are less than 2 months away from the start of Lifeway Baptist Church, and we're just excited about it. We've had about a year of traveling. And I've been on a 3-week trip, and we're ending that tomorrow, so we're excited to get home. But the Lord's put all the pieces together for us, and really looking forward to some great things happening north of Pittsburgh in Cranberry Township. I hope this will be a blessing to you. I'll follow up with a few other words of testimony, and then we'll get into the preaching tonight.
Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. God has called us, the Snowed family, to share the light of Christ with the people of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He has directed us to a borough 15 miles north of the city called Cranberry Township, located at the crossroads of Interstate 79 and the Pennsylvania Turnpike. This area is easily accessible from anywhere. In the last 10 years, Cranberry has seen an influx of residents that has caused the population to reach nearly 30,000. One of the largest contributors to this growth came when the new Westinghouse plant opened its doors and welcomed 3,000 employees to the area. This self-contained township has nearly everything a person could desire, yet something is missing.
Hello, my name is Bruce, and my family and I are currently attending a Fundamental Baptist Church, which is about 45 minutes away. And so, of course, that puts quite a crunch on us financially, but we heard about the possibility of a church being started and planted in Cranberry, and we're very excited about it. And So I would really like to ask for you to support Nathan and his family. And it's also difficult when you invite people and you tell them where you're going. They look at you like, that's too far. And so it would be great, because there is quite a need in Cranberry, and we certainly know that.
Hello, my name is Bob, and I'm from the Western Pennsylvania area. I've lived here most of my life, and I got saved actually at 14 years old at a independent Baptist church in the area. And I've seen a lot of churches come and go, and I know the area of Cranberry, and it is in need of an independent Baptist church. And I think you would do well to support Brother Nathan and his family as they endeavor to start this church.
Out of every 100 doors we will knock on in Cranberry, 43 of those people will go to church nowhere. 31 will claim to be Catholic, 6 Presbyterian, 6 Lutheran, 5 Methodist, 5 Charismatic, and not even one person will claim to be Baptist of any kind. In this community, we desire to plant an independent Baptist church that will unashamedly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. For 6 years, we have served in our home church, the Carrollton Baptist Temple in Carrollton, Ohio. There, God has given us many opportunities to prepare us for this calling.
I'm Dave Powell. I'm pastor of the Carrollton Baptist Temple. And Nathan has worked here in this ministry for the last 6 years or so, and he and his wife have been a great blessing to us here. They have been involved in every aspect of the ministry here. He has been in charge of the Christian Academy. He has been the leader of the bus routes. He has been the music director. He has done the nursing home ministry. He has been involved in just about any ministry that a church can be involved in. And I give my highest recommendation to anyone who would be interested in helping him plant this church over in Cranberry Township.
In the summer of 2010, God allowed our path to cross with Pastor Kurt Skelly at Hoosier Hills Baptist Camp. The Lord used him to make us aware of the need in Cranberry.
Hi, my name is Pastor Kurt Skelly here at Harvest Baptist Church in Natrona Heights, Pennsylvania. We're actually located about 45 minutes from the area in which Nathan and Sheila want to start their church. And when we found out that Nathan and Sheila were coming to Cranberry, we were just thrilled. We've been praying for years that God would raise up a church in Cranberry. Matter of fact, I even thought about starting a church there myself. And when we found out that Nathan and Sheila were going there, we were thrilled. We're pledging to support them. Matter of fact, they're going to go out of our church, and we're going to do everything we can to help them. And we're asking that you would prayerfully consider to do the same thing. Would you help them financially? Would you help them in your prayers? Would you help them even by considering coming out, knocking on some doors, and being a blessing? Hey, together, let's get this church started in Cranberry, Pennsylvania.
Harvest Baptist Church is our reproducing church, and will work actively in helping us start this new ministry in Cranberry Township. We've also partnered with Baptist Church Planting Ministry under the direction of Brother Earl Jessup. John 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We have taken this as our theme verse, and in April of 2012, we will establish Lifeway Baptist Church. In answer to prayer, God has miraculously provided us with a beautiful building to meet in. The meeting place is strategically located on the busiest road in Cranberry and in the midst of the fastest growing part of the township. The largest part of the facility has been donated to us for free by the Christian owner. Would you pray for the Snowd family as we plant Lifeway Baptist Church, pastor the people, and seek to reproduce our church as soon as possible?
Okay. forgive our sin and heal our broken land.
If you have your Bibles tonight, let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, of what God has put in our heart to do. We believe in church planting and believe that the Bible says that churches reproduce churches. And so God has given us a strong mother or reproducing church 45 minutes from us. And they've been very helpful and will continue to do so. Just to give you an idea of our time frame, I was just counting up there. Last Thursday marked 60 days until our first Sunday. And so we put something into place that really has been exciting and been a blessing. We asked, our goal was to find 60 people that would pray every day for 60 days until the start of the church. And I know that we've exceeded that. We've put it out to many of our supporting churches. And so we have, I would say, close to 70, 80 people that are praying every single day for the start of the church. But now here we are 54 days. And, you know, we have several things that will help us as we get ready for our grand opening. We've had a pastor's luncheon a couple weeks ago before we left, and we had 30 different churches. And most of those were within 2, 3, 4 hours. And pastors that came just wanted to be a part of the start of our church. And so many of them will come and help us. We have 4 blitzing days that will get out 13,000 John and Romans to the homes there in Cranberry. And they're going to help us do that. And then we want to get back to all those homes again. I don't think we'll have any problem doing that with the participation of these churches. But knock on all those doors and follow up, invite people to the church, tell them about the Lord. And so that will take place the last 2 Saturdays of March, the first 2 Saturdays of April. And then we have some special, what we call Get Acquainted meetings, the week before our first Sunday. And we're just asking God to do something special there. We're working with Baptist Church Planting Ministry, and they've been very helpful to us. My brother started a church a couple years ago in Ohio, and I never thought I would start a church. You know, God knows our path. God knows every twist and turn. And he knew that we'd be at this place in our lives, but I didn't know that. But as I got in on the groundwork of seeing a church start from scratch, God planted the seed in my heart. And I was driving around Worcester, Ohio with my brother one day, and he said something that I'll never forget. He said, "Nathan, it's an amazing thing when God gives a man a city." And that started working on me. And I thought, "God, would you give me a city?" And through circumstances and events, God led us to Cranberry. And God's been so good to our family. He has answered so many of our requests. Just today, one of our biggest prayer requests has been finalized. We sold our house in Ohio, and boy, that any of you trying to sell a house, you know, that's a big deal. And so God sold our house for us and just all kinds of different things. I could tell stories, but we want to get to God's word tonight. Acts chapter 8. And let's look at this book. It's a wonderful book in the Bible. It tells us much about that early church, what we call the first century church. We have this idea today that if we will model our church after the 21st century church, then maybe we'll be successful. And our area, Cranberry, is filled with what I call mega churches, the non-denominational, interdenominational churches, and they are thriving. They can't build buildings quick enough, and we have all kinds of them, but there's no depth to them. Someone once described those churches as they're an inch deep and they're a mile wide, and there's nothing to them. You go and you leave and you're just the same. And so we want to start a church that models the church that Christ started in the New Testament. And here in the book of Acts, we think about in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, how that Jesus, before he ascended, he told his followers and his disciples that they were to get the gospel not just to Jerusalem, but to Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. So that was God's command to his church. Well, you know how that from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 8, God was blessing that church. They were growing, people being saved, people being baptized. Wonderful things were happening at that church in Jerusalem. However, they were neglecting that last part of the command. And Christ had told them to go to the uttermost. And so he had to use some force to send out those disciples. You remember how that Saul, before he became Paul, the Bible tells us here in chapter 8 that he began to persecute the church of Christ. And through that, God's people were sent out. And we find a man by the name of Philip. He is a wonderful character in God's word. He was not one of the apostles. He was simply a deacon in chapter 6. We find in verse 5 that Philip was one of those chosen ones to be a deacon in the church. But now here in chapter 8, Philip goes from being a deacon to now he's an evangelist. And he is sent out. The Bible says, let's look here real quick, in chapter 8 and verse 5. It says, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city." We see here in these verses that God had started a city revival in Samaria. Wonderful things were taking place. God was working. Lives were being changed. People were being saved. And a church was started there in Samaria. But now let's fast forward just for a moment. And let's go over to verse 26. Chapter 8 of verse 26. The Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip." And notice what God says to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is," please note this little word, "desert." And I've marked and I've drawn a line in my Bible between the word city in verse 5 and the word desert in verse 26. You see, if I was the one that was orchestrating the events of chapter 8, I would have left Philip in the city of Samaria. Why? Because he was producing. He was accomplishing some things. There were some major results taking place there in Samaria. We'd say, boy, that guy has a great ministry. That man has a great church. And God's hand is on his life. And I'd say, just leave him there. But God sometimes doesn't work the way that we think he'll work. We think that the only time God will send us forth is when there's trouble, when there's discouragement, when things aren't going well. That must mean it's time now for me to move on. But sometimes God will lead us out of a prosperous place. Sometimes it's still God's will. And God said to Philip, "Look, I know that things are going well in Samaria, but I want you to arise and go down to Gaza, a place that's a desert." Why? Well, we'll find out in just a moment. Let's bow our heads in prayer together. Ask God to help us in this time. Lord, thank you that we have your word tonight. And Lord, we need to hear from you. We know that the word of God can change us. It can help us. Lord, challenge us. Stir us. Lord, take us out of our comfort zone. Help us to completely surrender tonight. Lord, help us to be willing to arise and go wherever it may be. Lord, call us and lead us. Thank you for Philip, a man that was obedient to the call of Christ. And what an amazing man and what a testimony he has. Lord, help us by your Spirit in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Arise and go. Quite honestly, it's easier for us to sit and stay. But God is calling us. The call of God, that's a call forward. And God wants to lead us forward. And for many of us, God is saying the same thing here tonight that he said to Philip, "I want you to arise and be willing to go." Now, it's hard sometimes to arise. If you're tired, you're on the couch, you've had a busy day, and you're just sitting there and you know you should get up and do some chores and do some things around the house. If you can just get yourself enough strength to get up, then maybe you can go and do it. But it's easier just to sit. But God said to Philip, "Arise and go." I want you to notice three things tonight. Why would God call Philip out of a prosperous place to go down to the desert? Well, we find the answer in verse 27. It says, "And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia and eunuch of great authority of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship." was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. So God gave an instruction. God gave an instruction here to Philip. The instruction of the Lord. Point number one, the instruction of the Lord. I want you to think about this tonight, that this idea of the Great Commission, it's not something that your pastor has come up with. It's not something that some preacher somewhere has designed some strategy so that we can effectively reach the world with Jesus Christ. You know, I hear a lot of statistics, and I give some of those in my presentation. But, you know, the reason why we go to Africa and to Asia, the reason why we go all across our nation around the world is not because of the statistics. 5,000 churches closing every year. Yes, that's a staggering thought. But we go primarily, first off, because Jesus said it's our responsibility. Jesus said, go to the uttermost. We're obedient to Him. Honestly, we sometimes, as we go out door to door and as we visit, and we heard about the push this weekend about every person trying to go out and reach people and invite them to church on Sunday, when we hear about that, sometimes we go because we're motivated by love. And we have that compassion, and we think about those lost souls, and we think about this dear lady that was mentioned tonight, and oh, how we ought to have that compassion. But sometimes we don't have that compassion. And sometimes we don't have that motivation. But the Bible says, the love of Christ constraineth me. It's that love for my Savior that makes me arise and go and reach people. People that live in the desert. People that we never thought of. That's what should cause me to be a witness for Jesus Christ. That's what should cause me to leave my comfort zone. My love for Him. It's the instruction of the Lord. You think about that word Lord, that means one in authority. One that has that superior position. I think it's a shame that we'll obey all kinds of authority here on earth. Maybe it's a boss, maybe it's government. And when they say go and move and do, we say, well, that's what we have to do. But I think it's a shame when the Lord of heaven says to us, look, I want you to arise and I want you to go. When He says that, many times our response is, well, Lord, I'll pray about it. You know, there's some things in the Bible we don't have to pray about. We don't have to pray about being a witness for Jesus Christ. We don't have to pray about reading God's Word. We don't have to pray about those things. God has already commanded. And so there's instruction from the Lord. And I like the response of verse 27. It just says, He arose and went. There was no discussion. There was no time of questioning. There was no doubting. The Bible says He was commanded to arise and go. And Philip said, all right, I'll go. That should be our response. Already saying yes to the Lord. That's complete surrender. And so He arises and He goes. But I want you to think about this. Why would we arise and go? The instruction of the Lord. But I want you to think about this. The ignorance of the lost. Here's a man. I like that word says, amen. You know, God loves individuals. Aren't you glad that God loves you individually? Hey, if you were the only person on this earth, Jesus Christ would have left heaven. He would have separated from His Father. He would have died on that cross just for you. Think about the individual love that our God has. And the reason why He took Him from this busy city and took Him down to a desert was there was a man there. There was a man. A man that needed some answers. Here's a man that's prosperous. Here's a man that has all the wealth of this queen in his hands. A man of great position. And we ought to reach out to all men. We ought to reach out to those children that come on the bus. But we should not neglect those folks that live in the nice homes, in the big houses. Hey, they need Christ as well. And the Bible says here that this man, hey, he had been in church. He had come from Ethiopia in Africa all the way up to Jerusalem trying to find some answers. And my understanding is he didn't find them. He left unchanged. He left still seeking. He had been in church. He had a Bible, a portion of the Bible in his hand, but still lost. There's people in this community, Gray, Tennessee. There's people wherever you live. And those people, they'll go to church on Sunday. Their house is filled with Bibles, but they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. They are still seeking. the ignorance of the lost. I think it's amazing. You turn on the television, and maybe you watch Jeopardy now and then. I don't watch it often, but I always get a kick out of it when they have a category, and it might say, Old Testament Bible characters. And I always laugh at the simplicity of the questions, because it'll say something like, what was the name of the baby that was put into the river, the Nile River? And you've got these great scholars and these minds, and they're sitting there just, they're just frozen, thinking so hard, what is this? And then somebody beeps in, Joseph, no, sorry. And you think, man, how simple. But we live in a biblically illiterate society. People don't even know the basic stories of the Bible any longer. What do they need? They need the truth of God's word explained to them. They need someone to say, look, I'm going to arise. I'm going to go, because there's some people that are still ignorant. There's still some people that are lost and need Jesus Christ. But here's the part. Let me finish with this. Let me park here for a moment in this last thought. Why should we arise and go? Because of the instruction of the Lord. Because of the ignorance of the lost. But this, because of the influence of a life. The influence of a life. Notice it says in verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip. Notice he was listening to God's Spirit. He was in tune with the Holy Spirit. And here's what the Spirit said. Go near and join thyself to this chariot. Go near and join thyself to this chariot. The influence of a life. God gives us influence. It's not a matter of do we have influence, but how are we using our influence? You have a sphere of influence. I don't know the people in your sphere of influence, but you have those that you can influence. People that you, like Philip, can go near to. You can join yourself to them, and you can begin to explain to them who God is, how they can have that relationship with Him. Influence is a powerful tool that God gives all of us. And God said, go near. People don't care really how much you know until they know how much you care. We have to go close. We live in a disconnected society. Let's just think about it for a moment. You can go to the gas station. You can swipe your card and you can pay at the pump. You don't have to see the gas attendant at all. You just pay at the pump. You can go to the grocery store now and you can do the self-checkout. You don't have to even talk to somebody at the grocery store if you don't want to. You can order online. You don't have to leave your home. You can just order online, and it'll be delivered right to your doorstep. And we live in this disconnected society where everybody's got their bubble, and no one wants to step into somebody else's bubble. But let's think about ourselves. How did we come to Christ? How did we get where we're at tonight? Wasn't it because somebody came alongside and somebody used their life and somebody used their influence to say, hey, let me help you a little bit. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about the difference He made in my life. And they begin to use their life. They begin to use their influence to help you and to encourage you. Philip used his influence. Look in verse 30. It says, and Philip ran thither to him. When the Spirit said it, he ran. He responded. I love that response, that quick response, to go immediately and obey the Spirit of God. And let's continue reading. It says that he ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? I think sometimes we take for granted that people understand God and His word. Verse 31, and he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. He said, look, I'm trying. And I think that this eunuch would obviously be an intelligent man. I mean, you don't get to the position he was in without having some brains and some smarts. But he still did not understand. As we continue reading, he says, when Isaiah's talking about this man, is he talking about himself or is he talking about some other man? He'd understand if it was Isaiah or the Lord Jesus Christ in Isaiah 53. But he said, I need some man to guide me, some man to help me. Tonight, there is a man. There is a man much like the Ethiopian eunuch somewhere in this area, somewhere in your realm of influence that's waiting on you. Somebody that's seeking God. somebody that's trying to find some answers. They've been looking. They've looked in their church. They've looked with people that they know, and they just cannot find the answer they're looking for. There's a hole inside of all of us. There's a hole that only Christ can fill, a vacuum that Jesus Christ alone can come in and satisfy. And that person's looking. And I believe in the power of God's Word, and I believe that the Word of God will not return void. We can put the Word of God in someone's hands, and they can be saved. But for many, many, they need a man. They need someone to go and to help them. That's why we arise and we go, because of the influence of a life. I want to tell you a quick story here. As we were praying about going to Cranberry Township, Pennsylvania, I went to that area several times, and we were praying and asking God to give us His guidance, and He showed us, this is where I want you to be. And so we surrendered to that, and as we were going there, that area, you saw some on the DVD, it's a newer type area. It's exploded in growth in the last 10 years. And so finding a building there, we knew that would be a challenge. And so as I went to some of our first meetings, I was telling people, look, pray God will give us a meeting place. We need a place to meet. And so we just prayed, and one day I went there with another man, and we were just kind of scouting out the area to see if there were any open buildings. And what is open, what is available, is usually very expensive. And so we just saw a sign out, and we called the number, and the man answered, his name's Steve, and we said, hey, we're interested in what you have available. Is this plaza, 7-8 businesses? There are a couple units that were open. We thought this would be a good location for a church. And so he came out, and we began to talk some, and he showed us the space. It was a nice space. And I asked that important question. I said, well, how much does something like this cost? And Steve said, well, when you put your rent, your utilities, your taxes, all those things in, you're going to pay close to $4,000 a month. And they had about picked me up off the ground because I thought, man, how in the world can we as a church plant afford this? If this costs $4,000, everything's pretty much relative here. I don't know how we're going to find a space. Well, then Steve said, well, what kind of business are you guys starting here? And I said, well, we're not starting a business. We're starting a church. And Steve said this. Steve said, I've been praying. He said, I'm a Christian, and I've been praying that God would send somebody to my business, because I want God to use my business. And I said, well, I think we're the answer to your prayers. He took us from there, and he showed us another space I didn't even know was there. And he said, you know what? The lady that leases this from me, she only uses it during the week, and I think you can get it for a good price from her. He said, I'll donate. He has a nursery there in his fitness factory. There's a nursery. There's some rooms we can use for Sunday school and our Thursday night Bible study. He said, I'm going to give all that to you for free. Whatever you have to pay that lady, that's all you have to pay. So we're going to pay $600 a month compared to $4,000. And God was in that. God answered our prayer. But here's the rest of the story. I continued to meet some with Steve just as we talked about details. And he was on my heart because he, again, goes to one of those large, contemporary, non-denominational churches there. And I told him, I said, you know, Steve, would you be interested in doing some Bible study? He said, sure, I'd love to do that. And so we've started some discipleship together. And Steve's a very intellectual man. He has an earned PhD. He's been very successful in business. But he was praying one day, and we were at a very Baptist Christian establishment, Chick-fil-A, and we were having our Bible study. And he prayed that day. And when we went to Cranberry, we went for God, but God has allowed me to see some evidence why He's called us there. And on this day, it became clear. Steve was praying, and his prayer was just very simple. He said, Lord, thank you for sending Nathan here to help me. Man, I thought in that moment, this is why God put me here. Because there's a man named Steve. And he needs another man. He needs someone else. Kind of a Philip to come alongside, to draw near, to come close, and to help him, to guide him. I want to ask you tonight, who's your Ethiopian eunuch? Who's that person that you're investing your life into? Who's that one that you said, you know what? I could just stay home tonight. I could just do the things I've always done, but I'm going to arise and I'm going to go because there's somebody that needs me. There's someone that needs my help. Let me just show you this real quick, and this isn't original with me, but I like it. I'll share it in conclusion. In God's Word, notice in verse 27 of Acts chapter 8, it says, a man of Ethiopia. There's a man. There was a man that had a need. But then look in verse 31, and this is what the eunuch said. How can I accept some man? That was Philip. And then in verse 34, he said this, or of some other man, and that's Jesus Christ. There's a man that needs some man, that's you, to tell him about some other man, that's Jesus Christ. Very simple. I know it's not new truth tonight, but I want to encourage us. Are you willing to arise? Are you willing to go? Maybe go in your community. Maybe go to the other side of the world. But are you willing? God wants us to be willing. Like Philip, hey, maybe you're leaving a prosperous church. It's obvious for us to see tonight God's hand of blessings on this church. But maybe God's calling you to launch out into the deep. Maybe God's calling you to step out because he's got a man somewhere in some desert no one even knows about that's seeking the truth. They need you to use your life and to use your influence. Let's bow our heads in prayer this evening. We'll have an invitation in just a moment. Arise and go. That phrase is used many times in God's Word. Many times. And I'm finding this out that it's not a matter of understanding. It's a matter of obedience. I'm talking to the Wednesday night crowd. I know that. I know this. I've not given you some amazing truth tonight. Some truth that, boy, I never heard that before. But I'm just trying to remind us, hey, let's be obedient to what we know. We all get a little too comfortable in our lives. We get a little too comfortable in our daily routine. God wants to disturb us. God wants to use us. We don't know what happened with that Ethiopian eunuch. Some have suggested that he's the one that brought the gospel to Africa. It's probably a good thought. It's probably true that God used that one man to bring the gospel to that continent. But it was because Philip said, you know what, I'll go. I'll leave behind the place of blessing, the place of prosperity. I'll do it. May God help us to find that position in our lives. Arise and go. Let's stand. If everyone would stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. We're not going to sing an invitation for the first verse. We'll sing that in just a moment. But I'm going to ask the piano player if she'll just play through a couple of verses. Maybe God's touched your heart through his word. And you realize that's you. God, maybe it's not to go to Africa. Maybe it is. But God has touched your heart to arise and go. He's put somebody on your heart, some man that's seeking the truth. And you know somebody in your workplace, somebody at your school, somebody in your neighborhood, somebody in your family, and they are seeking, and you have the answer, but you got to draw near. Maybe that's you tonight. How many tonight would say, you know, God has touched my heart through the message. God spoke to me in some specific way. Would you pray for me tonight? Would you just slip your hand up? That's me tonight. God spoke to my heart. Thank you. Many hands. If God spoke and you want to come and pray, why not use this time to do business with God? We're going to sing a couple verses of invitation. What number are we going to sing tonight, brother? 276.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow me.
So be the last verse God spoke into your heart. Still time. Arise and go.
Folks still praying. Brother Gary, if you wouldn't mind to sing the next verse. Lord's speaking to you, you come on. As Brother Gary sings, you come on.
He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory. And go with me, with me.
Through, you can look this way. Nothing needs to be added. Powerful message, amen. I'm thinking right now that I'm glad somebody was my Philip. If you're saved tonight, you were that Ethiopian. Somebody answered the call and brought it to you. Beautiful thing now is now the Ethiopian turns to Philip. Now God has us to tell somebody else. This is what we're trying to do at this church. I think it's obvious, isn't it? This is what we're trying to do. I appreciate the message. God used it. Speaking my heart. I'm going to ask Brother and Mrs. Snowd, if you wouldn't mind to make your way out to the table out there. If you're a teenager, would you raise your hand? You're a teenager. God bless you. We love you around this place. What I'm going to do in just a moment is I'm going to dismiss you first, all the teenagers. And I want to give you an opportunity to go shake his hand and speak to his wife. And I hope you'll work hard to go on this mission trip. This is the place we're going. I believe the Lord's going to do a great work. And we want our church to have part in this. If you're a teenager, won't you go ahead and be dismissed? I want you to speak to him first. Get an opportunity to do that. That'd be great. Mr. and Mrs. Bloomer, if you wouldn't mind to make your way out to the abbreviated lobby is what we'll call it. Our folks will come by and shake your hand. And I'm going to tell you something, folks, as I'm giving them time to get out, that was a powerful message. That was powerful. And that's what this life is all about. May the Lord help us all to do our part. Amen. You know a great thing about this? He got done early, but you know, a great thing about this is God sent him to one man. One person. God loves the individual. Aren't you glad of that? God's dealing in my heart, I'm telling you, praise the Lord. I want part of that man's ministry, folks. Amen. I believe the Lord's going to use him in a great way. All right? I'm going to ask, let's see, Brother Charlie Moore, if you wouldn't mind to lift your voice and pray for us tonight, sir, please.